This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Good afternoon. Here we are for another great Maggie Dawn show. So I'm looking forward to being able to talk to you today. I am your special guest host, Tom Palzowitz, and I'm looking forward to taking some of your calls and listening to what you have to hear. But let's start with the biggest news. Let's start with Matt Gaetz. Matt Gaetz has decided that he doesn't want to be attorney general anymore, and he's excited to drop out. So that is that he has decided to take a step back because this is what's good for America. At least that's the way I'm going to think about it. But I think the bigger news today is the snow. I don't know how many of you drove and how many of you came out on the roads today. But I think the biggest thing was just being able to drive and then look out for other people that don't know what they're doing. So taking a step back and really thinking about Wisconsin, one of the things that happens to me is that people forget that between the last snow and the first snow, there's this element of learning to drive again. So be careful on the roads out there. So, okay, well, let's get down to it. Got a couple of great guests today. I'm looking forward to talking to Brad Schliakowski from Courage MKE. Okay, I got it. All right, so I'm looking forward to talk to Brad from Courage MKE. And he's currently the executive director of Courage MKE, which is an organization that helps disadvantaged youth, especially LGBTQ youth.
So he's going to be on the show at 2:30, and I think what's going to happen after that at 3:00, Chris Larson's going to come on, and Chris is going to help us understand what's going on in Madison. So looking forward to having Chris on the show also at 3:00. So got off to a little rough start there, but I got the audio going the way I needed to. So, but let's start talking about Matt Gaetz. So one of the things that I like to think about when it comes to Matt Gaetz is this was a trial balloon by Donald Trump to be able to say, is this something that the senators were going to go along with? And I think when Matt Gaetz finally went up and talked to the senators, he realized this wasn't going to work. So now we're looking at it going, okay, who's really going to be the attorney general? But I think this is just the starting point for a number of different appointments. I think some of those appointments are going to go through the same exact thing, probably Pete Hegseth, and maybe some others who I think they're going to get looked at and they're going to decide, is this the hill that we want to die on, talking about the Trump administration, or do we want to get moving on the things that they want to work on? So to me, it's a big win for America that Matt Gaetz is not going to be our attorney general. But I think in addition to that, I think it sets the stage for us to be able to take a step back and say, here's what we think might be happening. A couple of other things that have been on my mind lately. One of the things I wanted to share was one of the reasons I ran for Congress in 2017 was the 2016 election. When I was looking at Donald Trump, I was looking at a person that I didn't feel was really he didn't really epitomize leadership in my mind. And I talked to a lot of my Republican friends at the time, and I said, why Donald Trump? And they liked the idea that he was going to cut taxes. They could come up with policy reasons at that point. And I went, okay, let's discuss policy. And whenever we would discuss policy, we came to the conclusion that we could agree on most policies. But when it came to character, Donald Trump wasn't the kind of person they really wanted in the White House. But they were willing to take a step back and say, let's do that and see what happens. So Donald Trump was elected. We had him as president from 2017 through 2020. And if you take a step back and really think about what happened when it came to the policies, not much was enacted. I think tax cuts were enacted. There were some other things that really didn't happen, though. I remember the infrastructure week that was supposed to happen on a regular basis that just didn't happen. But it was almost a reactionary element. And we saw that continued reaction was something we had to live with. And then the pandemic hit, and we had to listen to whatever he had to say after that. But let's fast forward to 2024. We have another election. And for the life of me, I can't explain why Republicans would, one, nominate, but not only nominate, elect Donald Trump, knowing that his character is not someone we really want running the country, and that he actually tried to overthrow the country before that. And if it's really about policy, then let's just admit that policy really isn't the driving factor. It's really the things that Donald says and the things that Donald Trump wants to get done in this country. Another thing that I saw happen over the last week was Nancy Mace. Nancy Mace in Congress decided that she was going to start a culture war by talking about bathrooms. Now, I had mentioned that we're going to have Brad Schliakowsky from Courage MKE on the show a little bit later. I went to their gala right after the election, and it was at the Baird Center. And the Baird Center is brand new, completely refurbished, and they had all-gender bathrooms. And I had never been in an all-gender bathroom, so I decided, okay, not only do I have to go, I have to go check this out. And it was no big deal. Absolutely no big deal. And I realized, like, this is exactly what America needs. You know, if you think of the cost of having to build separate bathrooms in every single building we're building, you know, we really need to move, like a lot of European countries, to just having bathrooms where it's not an issue anymore. But Nancy Mace in Congress has decided to make this an issue. And not only is it a distraction, it's tragic because it's singling out a particular element of our population and saying that they aren't worthy of respect. They aren't worthy of our appreciation and understanding them as human beings. And why the Republicans have decided that this is the way they're going to raise money, this is the way that they're going to make sure that their followers are involved in the culture wars, this is the way they've decided to do this. Because you can tell this is a concerted effort, and this is going to be going on for a while. So obviously when I have Brad on the show, we'll get to talk about that a little bit more. Also want to talk about the Bucks. I think the Bucks started not so well. Looked like they were in a little bit of trouble there. They've now won 4 out of the last 5. I think they've looked a lot better doing it. I'm excited for Chris Middleton to come back. I know he's medically cleared and he's finally going to get to go. I've been a Bucks fan, I think, since the early 70s. I remember the first game I went to, I remember looking up at Robert Parrish, who was playing for the Golden State Warriors at the time, and realizing that man is tall. And I think he was the first 7-foot human being I had ever seen in person. And I remember whatever we're calling the decade of the early 2000s, I'm going to call it the aughts. I remember in the late aughts, I posted on Facebook, I said, am I the only Bucks fan still out here? Am I the only NBA basketball fan still out here? And now the Bucks have really brought NBA back in a great way. But I think they're going to have a great season. I think they're starting to gel. I think Glenn Rivers decided that he has to play the young guys. And I think they're going to be able to shoot better. They're going to be able to defend better. But we'll see what happens. The other thing I want to touch on that I thought has been fascinating to watch since the election, the mention of voter fraud. The mention of voter fraud has dropped to almost nothing besides Eric Hovde in the Senate election here in the state of Wisconsin. That voter fraud idea has absolutely dropped. And I think one of the interesting things about that is there's voter fraud when you think you might not win or you're not winning, but there's never voter fraud when you win. And that's the part I really don't understand, is it just suddenly evaporated and no longer are we thinking about it. I'm curious to know, is of all the Republican operatives that were out there that really went and tried to figure, you know, became poll observers, I wonder what their thoughts are. So if you're out there and you were a poll observer for the first time, I'd love to hear from you today just to get some feedback on what you actually saw. Because I actually worked the elections this year. My wife and I went. And one, there wasn't a lot of turnout because most of the voting had already happened. But the other is nothing out of the ordinary happens. And what, you know, when you see that that's happening, it puts a high level of confidence in what's happening in our elections. And then, you know, they're actually going to be fair and they're going to be accurate. And I think the last thing I wanted to touch on, at least in this segment, is the Waukesha Christmas Parade. I think all of you remember back in 2021, there was a tragic event that happened during the Waukesha Christmas Parade. And our Governor Tony Evers, has decided that the flag is going to be at half staff today in honor of the people that died in that tragic event. So thinking of Waukesha today, my wife and I were down there last night having dinner at one of our favorite restaurants, just a great place to be, especially when they start to light up the town. And, you know, with the snow today, it being Christmas and getting close, it's just good to see. So I guess one more thing I just want to talk about is a democracy if you can keep it. And that little saying has been rattling around my head for a while, a democracy if you can keep it. And what it means to me is all the efforts that people put in during the election. I know people want to take a break. I know it's time to take a step back a little bit and enjoy the holidays. But I think we're in for a fight. And what I mean by that is I think we need to fight for democracy. You know, we hear people talking about potential military tribunals. We hear talking about going after and prosecuting the other party or people who've given to the other party. Or just those kind of things. So I think, at least for me, the idea is a democracy, if you can keep it, means what's your part? What's your role? And it's one of the things I thought of when I ran for Congress is, what can you do? What can you do that other people can't do? And how do you find that lane? And how do you step into it and be able to understand, this is what I'm able to do? So it was great to see people be able to step in this last election. We've got a state Supreme Court race coming up in the spring. So looking forward to that. So if you want to call into the show, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Looking forward to some calls. Thanks.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show. This is your guest. I usually co-host with Maggie between 2 and 3 every Thursday. And here I am today, though, hosting all on my own. So a little bit of rocky start. We're through it, though. We got it going. And I know we have a caller. So, Cardi, you want to pop our caller in and we can have a quick discussion?
Yes, let me do that. 1 second.
And we have John from Sun Prairie, as I understand. John from Sun Prairie?
Yeah, hi. Can you hear me okay?
Yep. Yeah, John, we can hear you. Well, what would you like to talk about today?
Well, first I wanted to thank you and Maggie for all you did during the election, the run-up to the election, and your station especially, presenting the facts and the no slant. I really appreciated that. The other thing I wanted to talk about was I've heard from a couple people I know post-election that they're really worried about Trump's picks and how he's going to run the government or not run it. And I told them to just kind of chill and just wait and see.
Yeah.
For example, Matt Gaetz took himself out of the running and just out of the blue. Who knows if that won't happen with his other picks when, you know, these sexual allegations come out. Or in this case with Matt Gaetz, it isn't even an allegation. He paid by Venmo for an underage teenager to have sex. And that's a known quantity. That's why he had to resign from Congress.
Right. Paid by Venmo, which I think is the best part about that whole story. Just a tragic story, though.
Yeah.
But paid by Venmo, which means that he was nowhere near thinking he was committing any crimes, which obviously he was. But yeah, I think, John, you hit on a good point, though. It's like, how do, because my wife and I have been talking about this a lot. How do you maintain sanity knowing that there's all this stuff?
Right.
You know, they call it flooding the zone. There's all this stuff coming your way. So what are you recommending to your friends and family when they come to you? Like, what are some things that they can do in order to not pay attention, but pay attention?
Yeah. The first thing I tell them to do is to chill out. Just relax. Nobody's in office yet. And President Joe Biden can get a lot of good done in the next few months. So let's support him and let's see that run its course first.
Yes.
And then number two, when the change of power, or I don't believe that's the correct terminology, but administrations cross and there's a handoff, make sure it's sane and reasonably well, and just let's see what democracy works like with, you know, adults in the room.
Yeah.
That's all I can tell them at this point. And let's worry about what's coming up in the future, because people just need a few weeks and relax, I think is what they need to do.
Absolutely, John. Hey, John, we're losing you a little bit, so we're going to cut you off right there, but I am going to expand a little bit on what you just said, right? So how do you chill out? I've often found that if you tell people to chill out, it's probably not going to happen. I think what I always like to do is ask, what else can you do to divert your attention, but also make sure that you're helping other people? I think especially this time of year, what can you do to get your mind off of what, you know, as we said, flooding the zone is happening? What can you do to take a step back and really think about, how do I help my community? How do I help the people around me? And just how do you take your mind off of it for a little while, knowing that there's a process playing out? And that's the fine line that my wife and I are walking right now, is how do we make sure we're paying attention, but not always paying attention? Because if you always pay attention, it's just going to be a drain on your brain, especially when things are happening that infuriate you, which will be the norm for a while. And I just go back to when, like I said before, when Trump was doing his daily press conferences and he was talking about COVID. They were infuriating to watch, yet there wasn't much else to do except find out and try to get a glimmer of information. I think the other part of this is finding other ways to get your information. I'm not a big fan of TV for that reason, because it doesn't really tell me anything. It just makes me upset. And so I keep watching and get more upset about what's going on. So I think these kinds of shows, I think shows that educate you and inform you, are helpful. I also think reading, whatever you can read. I like to read a whole bunch of different things so I can see the different takes on what's happening. But, you know, John, I'll go back to what you said. If you can chill out, but chill out in a way that meets not only your needs, but the needs of the people around you, that can definitely be significant and help other people along the way. So I think the other thing I wanted to talk about before we go to break is just political climate. I think the Democrats, there's a lot of talk about what went wrong. I think it's a good to focus on what went right. I think here in Wisconsin, there were some really good things that happened that went right. There was a huge ground game. There was lots of door knocking. I spent the last 2 weeks before the election knocking on doors and talking to people. And I remember one gentleman who was very upset. He said, I just can't vote for Kamala Harris because of Israel and Gaza. I don't like what's happening. I think it's a war crime, and I just can't do it. And I said, you know what the alternative is. You know what's going to happen if Donald Trump is elected. And he says, yes. And I felt like we were at an impasse. So I diverted the discussion to a different topic, but then wound my way back to it and asked him, all right, so if worse is going to happen if Donald Trump is elected, how are you going to be able to handle that? He said, I don't know. I don't know what I'll do when I'll get there, but at least I feel like I've made my voice heard. So the other thing that you can do between now and the next election, or now and the next whatever political event you want to think about, is how do you make sure your voice is heard? But I think I've heard that candidates are like buses. You know, you got to jump on. It might not get you to go exactly where you want to go, but it gets you in the right direction. So, but make sure your voices are heard. If you don't feel like your voice is heard at this point, there's lots of opportunities to make that happen. So take a step back. Figure out what you can do. More importantly, help the people around you, especially the people that are disadvantaged and marginalized and are going to need your help. So once again, the number to call in, 855-75-CITIC. That's 855-75-4842. So 855-752-4842. Looking forward to taking some more calls and really looking forward to having Brad next on our show from Courage Milwaukee. Thanks for listening.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Welcome back. We are the Maggie Dawn Show, and I'm your special guest host, Tom Palswitz, and I actually have a very special guest with me today. Brad Schlaikowski from Courage MKE. And the reason I wanted Brad to come on is because I think Brad, one, has a great story to tell, but two, has a way that you can help. So, Brad, I think my first question to you is what is Courage MKE and why did you start it?
Well, thanks for having me with you today. This is a pretty good, nice privilege for me, and it's a nice break. So Courage MKE is a nonprofit my husband and I founded here in Milwaukee in 2015 after we had been fostering some teens in our house. The teens that we fostered identified as LGBTQ plus in some way, shape, or form. And they all had two things in common. One, they didn't ask to be in their situation because they were not of home care for other reasons beyond things that they can control. And number two, they all had stories of rejection, torment, bullying. The last young lady that came through our house, they called us and said, we've been driving with her for 6 hours. No one wants to take her. We pulled her out of sex trafficking and she had patches of hair missing from her head because the girls in her group home didn't like that she was bisexual. So, you know, we were both climbing corporate ladders and, we thought maybe we need to do something and give these kids a safe haven that they can live in. So we went to the community and any gay bar that would give us a microphone, we started telling them what the problem was. And people started donating $5, $10, $20, $50, sometimes $100, right? And I tell you those numbers so that people understand the sheer volume of people that started to support these young kids that allowed us to pay cash for the first Courage House in 2018. That house opened in 2019. We're the first group home in the state of Wisconsin that is specifically for LGBT or queer children. All those children come to us with a referral from the social welfare system. And we oftentimes we got the question, well, why do they get a house? Why do they get a house? Well, there's over 256 other group homes in the state. The average stay in a group home is 38 days. So every 38 days, these kids are being forced to move, forced to trust some other stranger, all because they called someone a bad name or they had some big emotions and broke some dishes or something, right? So that's my response, is these kids deserve a spot to call their own because no one else wants to accept them in theirs. So we have this house, and these children that come to us have so much trauma, which is a wall in front of them, right? And if they can't be their authentic self, then we have two walls to chip through. So if we have to break through that barrier of letting them and helping them accept themselves and show them that they accepted and we love them for who they are, it allows us to start approaching that trauma in a much faster way than if we didn't have a group home for queer kids.
Yeah. And I think that, to me, that's the toughest part about it, is you're breaking through those two walls, not just one.
Right.
You know, we all know there are lots of people out there, especially children who have undergone or are undergoing trauma right now. But then you couple that with being different or being labeled as being different. To me, that's a huge challenge. What led you to the decision to open up another home? So you had the first one that you created opened up in 2019. Then it led you to the next one. And can you explain a little bit about
our original plan was to open more of the same kind in like Madison, Green Bay, Eau Claire, you know, the bigger cities. But what we found is that the state is sending all these kids. We have contracts with 17 counties and 3 tribes across the state because there's more people in Milwaukee that look like them or accept them.
Yeah.
So we found that we are operating just fine with one group home. But what the problem that we were seeing is, what happens when these kids age out of a system that they were forced into? So for 18 years of these kids' life, someone is giving them food, shelter, clothes, kind of, and whatnot. But then they turn 18 and everyone just washes their hand and says, go, right? Many of these kids don't have family to go to. Where are they supposed to go when they're 18? Who is going to teach them how to live as an adult? So we partnered with the Ollie Forney Center in New York to ask for some mentorship. And we opened C2 Apartments this past April. And it is for any LGBT young adult ages 18 to 24 that are aging out of the social welfare system, whether that's foster care or the juvenile justice system, or they're already experiencing homelessness. And this program, you know, we've created this 36-month program where they live rent-free, but we're helping them navigate the reality of being an adult: insurance, bank accounts, jobs,
yes,
all of, you know, cleaning your house. You know, we clean together and we teach these skills. And like I said, they live rent-free. The only requirement that they have is once they get a job, they have to save 20% of their paycheck into their own savings account and show that in their case management meetings every single week, so that when they leave this 36-month program, they have anywhere from $7,000 and up in their bank account as a nest egg. So they have food security, clothing security, rent security, and hopefully they'll be set up to be successful.
And I think that's awesome. I think your ability to have, you know, these young adults be able to take a step back and learn some responsibility. But I think the other amazing thing that you do is you start to regain some trust right, in the people around them, and trust in society that there is a value to their existence. And then my guess is that takes a while to get them there. Because I know that, you know, after hearing your story and reading your website, you had somebody who said they had been in one of your houses for 2 years when they turned 18. And that was the longest they had consecutively lived in one place in their entire life. And when you think Absolutely. About that movement and what all that trauma is caused by that, your ability to be able to help them out is fantastic. So I know that right after the election, you know, I think your group was trying to reassess, what does this really mean to us? And then you had your gala on that Friday night at the Baird Center, and you had 700 people there. So why don't you tell us a little bit about that and that experience and what that meant to you?
Sure. You know, when we were planning our gala is always early November. So I was like 3 days before the election or after the election, whichever. And it happened to be after, and I'll be honest, my hope was that we didn't know who won by the time the election came, but yes, by the time the gala came.
Yep.
But the reality it was is that we did know who won. And that brought a whole new meaning of why we needed to be together that Friday. That Friday, there was a room full of queer people and allies. And I think everyone in the room that night was, we're all feeling a little down, right? We're all feeling a little down because, not because our person didn't win, but because what we knew was coming because of who won and what could be coming. You know, we know that queer kids, especially our trans kids, are the ones being targeted by adults. And let me say that again. We have adults targeting children who are the ones saying we shouldn't be targeting children, but they're targeting them.
Yes.
So we 700 adults are having these big feelings the night of the gala. I can't imagine what an 8, 11, 15, 18, 20-year-old child is feeling, especially if they're trans, especially if they're trans children of color, because that's just going after them even more. So we have this room filled with love. It's my favorite day of the year. We addressed the ugly that happened, that moved past it. And I think the theme of the night became now more than ever, these children in our communities need us and need to see us and need to know that they have safe people, especially if we're removing the stickers and the flags from schools, and especially if we're removing all the safe spaces from everywhere. We as a collective community need to let these kids know that there are people that they can go to if they're in an unsafe moment, or there are businesses they can go to if they're in an unsafe situation. Because the reality of it is I don't think we're being Chicken Little in this situation. I think that we're going to see a lot of targeting coming. And again, now more than ever is our time to stand up for these kids. These kids who are one day going to be sitting in the chairs of the elected officials that are doing this to them right now, and show them you can be that person and make change happen.
Yes. And I thought one of the most impactful moments, at least for me, at the event was when you had all the allies stand up, and it was easily at least half the room.
It was.
And to me, the starting point is if you are not currently, like, if this is a concern to you, I think now is a great time to start figuring out how you can be a better ally. Because it's good, like you just said, Brad, it's gonna take everyone. And this is one of those areas, I think, that we're going to need lots of strong people giving support to people who need it. I'm going to interrupt for a minute. We're going to take a caller. They've been waiting very patiently on the line. So, Joe from Madison, if you're on the air.
Hi. I had been interested in the subject that had generated so much fire and heat earlier on, which is this effort by Nancy Mace to the war of the bathrooms, if we might say.
Yes.
And I would be really interested in some reaction on the part of your guest and you. You had mentioned earlier, Tom, that you and your wife were grappling with this and went into a unisex bathroom, if you will, and it's sort of like, who cares? No big deal.
No big deal.
And I wanted to say that as a woman, I've been in women's bathrooms when there have been trans women who've come in. I'm really not threatened. I really don't feel assault is, in the corner and that I should worry. I'd really worry about somebody like Matt Gaetz more than that. And I'd be curious, I sort of wonder if this puts us, this might be an opportunity to talk about the fact of what do we have and where, you know, Mike Johnson has put together this legislation, or has agreed to this legislation, but he says hasn't outlined a plan on how to enforce it. Well, of course he hasn't. How do you do it? And he has instead said that this is up to the sergeant at arms to figure out how to enforce it. Come on. What does that mean? That every person who comes in, woman who comes into the bathroom has to, run the gauntlet of the sergeant at arms?
Right. Have an ID shown or something. Right. Yeah. But so
what? You know, wear a disguise? So I'd be curious what the two of you might have to think about this.
Great question. I'm going to flip it over to Brad. Brad, because I think I said my piece on this, but Brad, I'd love to hear what you have to say on this.
I have a few thoughts on this. One, I think it's really funny that the only people are talking about it are the people that aren't transgender.
Yes.
Like, And there's such a double standard. I think that for many people listening, how many times have you been at a festival or an event and the women's bathroom line is like all the way down the block and there's no line at the men's and all the women go in the men's room?
Yes.
Why is there a double standard? Why is that okay? What I don't understand. Number two, I have so much respect for this congresswoman because you know what? She's not batting an eye on it. She doesn't care where she uses the bathroom. What she's going there to do is to do her job. And that's what everyone should do, is shut up and do your job. Why do you care about one of your colleagues? In fact, they're your colleague. How about some respect for them? If you expect it, you better give it. And number three, it's almost 2025, people. I don't even know what to say to that. Like, it's if these people heard their children speak to people that the way that they are speaking to people, they would check their children. And it's just really embarrassing to watch. I'm embarrassed for them.
I'm embarrassed for them also. And I will say something. I will say this about Nancy Mace. If you go back into her history in 2021, she's on record as saying that, you know, transgender people deserve respect and should be treated with the same dignity and respect as everyone else. I don't think this is about ideology. I definitely think this is about raising money, keeping the culture wars up, flooding the zone to keep the focus not on the most important things. So,
you know, this morning, Tom, I saw a meme on social media, and it was a side-by-side picture of that congresswoman. I don't remember her name.
Yeah, Sarah McBride, yeah.
Pointing to a homemade women biological sign that she put above the women's restroom at the Capitol.
Yep.
And next to it was another white woman standing to a bathroom that said "white women only." Why are these white people so concerned with bathrooms?
Yep. And we're going to take a break at this point. Once again, if you want to call in, 855-75-CIVIC.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
You are listening to the Maggie Dawn Show. I am the special guest host, Tom Palzowitz. I have a great guest with me right now, Brad Schlikowski from Courage MKE. Brad, there was a big announcement at your gala, so why don't you let us in on that?
Sure. So, you know, Courage MKE has grown, and it's grown really fast in 9 short years. Courage MKE is the origin, right? I have an amazing group of people that I work with every single day that are bringing more to the table than we could have ever imagined for our organization. And that Courage MKE story is a lot of times the Brad and Nick story, right? And it's time to sunset that, because now this is our story. This is the community story. So starting in January, we're rebranding and renaming ourselves to Courage Plus. That plus becomes an equation. It's courage plus you, courage plus the community, courage plus trans rights, right? So we're really excited for where we're going. You know, we're looking at opening additional facilities in the state of Wisconsin. We're working on we have programming that we've already launched and more coming under the Plus You program, where it's our community facing program where we invite parents in, or grandparents or guardians, to help them understand their LGBT kids, or allow them a safe space to ask the questions that they're afraid to ask. Because I think it's more important that these questions get asked than these assumptions and thoughts running through their head. Let's clear it up so that you can have an effective and quality relationship with your child. But on the flip side, we're going to start two different youth groups. We're starting two different youth groups, one for just youth, and one for youth that want to invite their parent in, so we can help navigate and mediate that relationship.
That's awesome. Yeah. So there's a lot about where you're going. I just want to share a quick story from my first campaign. My campaign manager, who I hired, happened to be gay, and we had some, I thought, pretty good conversations. Me being a white suburban male, I think he gave me some a really good information along the way. And one of the times was, as we were campaigning up in West Bend, and I was like, oh, what a quaint little town. And, you know, this is, you know, there's one of these main streets in every America. I said, you know, it just sort of warms my heart to see it. And he said, Tom, I don't think you understand. I don't feel safe here.
Yeah.
And that really, it like hit me. And I'm like, that is an entirely different perspective. I don't feel safe here. Because that environment was not something that brought a level of joy to him or a level of understanding that he was included or could be involved. It was, I want to get out of here. So, yeah. Brad, I've asked you this question before, but I'll ask it again. How many at-risk youths do you think there are that need your help in Wisconsin?
Oh. Look, if you took all of the kids in foster care, it would overfill Miller Park or American Family, whatever it's called now, right?
Right. American Family Field, just, yep.
In just in kids in out-of-home care, 40% of Miller Park are at-risk youth. And then we have the youth that are unaccounted for that are already living on the street. So when I tell you that there's thousands, I'm not exaggerating. And can you imagine being 7, 10, 11, 12, a teenager and not knowing who to trust or who to count on? It's a privilege that I took for granted. And with your help, Tom, and your listeners' help, we can all be that person for these kids.
Yeah, and I think that's the key point is you're going to need a lot more in order to be able to help as many as are needed. And
especially with federal funding going away.
Yes. And I think that's the one thing that you had mentioned at your event is, you know, one of the things you don't do necessarily is take federal funding. So you're not going to lose that money, but you are going to have to find it from someplace else in order to keep growing. So,
and everyone else has to find it from someplace else too, right? So
yes.
It makes it that much harder.
Right. We got a couple more minutes before we go to break. I know we have a caller that's been waiting for a little while and from Chippewa Falls, you're on the air.
Thank you for bringing this man in to talk about this. I think it's very good that we're educated on this. I'm an educator, and there are teachers that voted for Donald Trump.
Yes.
And you know what? If you're out there and you're an educator, shame on you, because we accept everyone. And I'm just so disappointed. You know, people need to read about transgenders and you know, become more educated so they understand these people. I mean, I've learned, you know, love thy neighbor as thyself. Why is this so hard? And I'd be more afraid to go into a bathroom with Mr. Gates than I would be for a transgender person.
Yep.
Yeah.
And thanks for your call. Appreciate it. I'm glad you raised those sentiments, though, because this is about education. This is about what do people need to know in order to overcome fear? So, Brad, we're unfortunately almost out of time, but what do you want to say to the listeners at this point of how they could help if they wanted to?
The first thing I want to say is pull out your phones. We're on Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook. Our mission is to create a movement of people that care about these kids. Please follow us. You know, I'll be lying to tell you, we need your support. We need your financial support. We can't keep doing what we're doing without all of us doing it together.
Exactly. All right. So I know we're almost out of time, Brad. I just want to thank you again for coming on. This is an important issue. I think it's an issue that we have to be at the forefront on. But it's also an issue where the more we can educate, the more we can help people understand that they don't have to be afraid. And to me, that's one of the things that we have to do. So, Brad, thanks for coming on. Appreciate it. I know we got a couple of other callers on the line, but we're going to take a break here. And I'm excited about our next guest. Chris Larson is going to come on, our state senator, Chris Larson. He's been in Madison for a long time, but things have changed. So really looking forward to having a conversation with him, especially around the topic we were just talking about, education. So looking forward to
it. Thanks, Tom.
Thanks, Brad.
See you later.
See ya.
the national news cycle never stops. But it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.